We're teaching again on the same subject. We're looking at John's letters to the church. We're looking at 1st, 2nd, and 3rd John. We were in teaching last week. We had finished going through where we looked at what Peter had said about false teachers and stuff and read through quite a few scriptures and that stuff. We had gone over the week before and then picked up again in that and reading it. But looking at from the scripture about what was said, because John talked about the false teachers and that stuff, that the problem that that is with them, and we found that and wanted to look at Peter because Peter wrote about the same thing, the false teachers, at which we have to watch about. Also, we went over what Jesus said in Matthew the 7th chapter, and I want to go back to Matthew the 7th chapter again. We're going to read more of that chapter. We read part of it last week of what we're going to read, but I'm going to back up some and read some other, but in that chapter. But we're looking at what Jesus said, and we're going to find out that Jesus, you know, he wasn't talking about something right at the time that they were, but he made mention, Jesus made mention about false prophets, and we read in Matthew the 7th chapter, and we want to go back there because it's something that we need to be aware of. And that's why when the Lord spoke to me back in 1980 and said to me, in the range of somewhere from probably close to this time of year when I had first gotten the Kenneth Hagin series on how to be led by the Spirit. It was a tape series. And I started to listen to how to be led by the Spirit. When I went to put the second tape in to listen to it, the Spirit of the Lord spoke to me in a very, I mean, I just, it rose up inside of me. It was so clear. And he said, if you don't learn how to be led by the Spirit, you'll amount to nothing as a Christian. And we need to understand this. Thank God for the Word, but we need to understand this. If the Bible, you could just read it like a textbook and just understand it, there would have been no need for the Holy Ghost to be a teacher. There would have been absolutely zero need for that. And so, in other words, we always do need teachers, and like we have the Holy Spirit, and there's things that the Holy Spirit will directly teach you, but there's things also that Holy Spirit teaches us through teachers, through other individuals. But we need to understand this, when we're dealing with other individuals teaching, we still need to listen to the Holy Ghost, because we could be deceived, and that's what we're talking about. When deception gets into the church, things get out of hand and get off into things, as like today, like when I said the Lord years ago, I hadn't been born again, not very real long, and I started hearing at that time, and when I got born again in January 1980, there was still, like, you know, the charismatic renewal was going, there was a lot of stuff was happening back in that time. People were talking a lot about the Lord's return. They were talking a lot about Christ coming back because, you know, the time that we're living in and things, they were talking about those things a lot. So there was a lot of teaching and people were talking about end times. Well, there was things that, you know, that Jesus said, and there were some things that I did have some revelation on, that just reading the Bible and the Holy Spirit instructed me and showed me some things. But I remember listening to all these people talking about them, and after a while it got so confusing because people are teaching all kind of different stuff, saying all kind of different things. They were using scriptures, and I knew that they were using them out of context. It wasn't what they were talking about. And they're using it saying, well, this is that, the other thing. You know, and in fact, I just had a minister, a very good minister friend of mine, I've known for years. And I was listening to a video that he did on question and answer. And I just thought, you know, when people add their own things, and they were talking about Jesus returning, and him and this other guy's been in ministry, a friend of his, who he's gone and traveled to India with and different ones. But they made this statement. They were talking about Jesus' return, and they made the statement, yes, we're going to be leaving in a twinkling of an eye, and oh, how incredible that's going to be, just a blank. The Bible doesn't say we're leaving in a twinkling of an eye. It never said that. Said we'll be changed in a twinkling of an eye. It didn't say we're leaving, and we're not going to be leaving. Because the Bible says the dead in Christ rise first. Then we which are alive and remaining will be caught up together with them. In other words, there's a sequence of things. That ain't going to happen in a twinkling of an eye. It's not going to happen. The Bible doesn't say it. It says the change will take place. In other words, the new body we get, it's going to happen. It's like it'll be an instantaneous thing. But it says we're going to be caught up with the Lord in the air and all this stuff. And when you think about these things, but just like that. Now, that's no big thing doctrinally, but the whole thing of it is it just shows how people don't pay attention to something. They just somebody said started this thing, you know, and I'll never forget, you know, they had, that book series about the Lord's coming. There was a book, I forget who it was that wrote. They had all these, they wrote a series on, and they made up like a novel type thing out of it. And they made about Christ's return, and they had all these characters and all the things. Anyhow, they did it some years back, and Wanda had the series. I remember reading it. But I remember going through and reading that series and that stuff. And this guy has been, they consider him an end time expert who they wrote this, him and this other guy wrote these books. Well, I sit down, I mean, there's loads of things that they wrote in there that they talk from a scriptural standpoint. I could prove to them in scripture they were right about what they said. But you know what? They have been, people have been told things over the years, and this is why we have to watch. You know, I remember when I first got born again how it was, because there was things I'd been told as a kid about Christianity. And you know, you had to find out whether or not this stuff was true or not. And what happens, I found out, gee, there's things I thought were certain ways weren't certain ways. You know, you've been told things, but nobody, you know, we hadn't checked it out. And so you find out that things are maybe not necessarily true. We need to understand this. I believe many times there are people who are not, haven't tried to deceive us, but they were wrong. Do you know, to know the wrong thing and do the wrong thing, don't matter if the person was trying to get you to do it. It doesn't matter if they were a good person and they just made a mistake. If you did what they said, it ended up wrong. You know, and it's, we need to understand that. The outcome ends up to be wrong. And so it isn't that they were trying to, but we need to understand this. There are people who are trying to mislead. There are people out here who are trying to mislead. And so you need to be able to differentiate between the two. It's like my friend and him, they're not trying to mislead anybody. They're just, they're not doing that. They're not trying to get somebody off track. They're not doing that. And but the whole thing is, there are people who are. And you need to know who's the difference. And if you don't understand that, if you don't understand, and there's people out here that seem really good. I know I've talked about in these studies about people that were into things and doing stuff, were major ministries and stuff. And I talked about, you know, the woman who was, you know, doing things to, you know, like oil running out of her hands and different things are going on, operating under demonic powers and people doing stuff. You have things like that going on out here that people are doing. And loads of major ministers, if I mention their name, you'd probably be astonished to know who they were doing this stuff. We're following along with these people. Telling this woman here is from God, and this is God, and this, and it wasn't. And you know, the whole thing was the witness of the Holy Spirit. I was at the meetings, and well, when she came into the Tulsa area, when I was out in Tulsa, when this stuff started, we were there at a meeting, and I was at the meeting to help them do, you know, park cars, but just like with there, when I just knew inside of my spirit when I was sitting in the meeting, something is wrong. I don't know what, but something's wrong. See, many times people don't listen. You know, I've watched Christians do this and do it yourself. You can sit around and think, well, what's wrong with me? You know, this is all God. All the rest of the big wheels, they're all, yeah, this is God. Wahoo! And you're sitting there inside of you and say, something's not right. I will guarantee you this. I would bet any amount of money they had the same thing and they overlooked it. I would bet money on it. They had the same thing, but they overlooked it. Why? Because what was going on looked so good. Because sometimes what goes on looks good. You know, it looks good. But you know, I had a witness inside of me, and I was watching things, and it came up in my spirit something that Kenneth Hagin had said about something taking place. He taught us in Manifestations of the Gifts of the Spirit. And Kenneth Hagin said this, the Holy Spirit manifests the ministry of Jesus Christ, and he'll always glorify Jesus. Look to see what these manifestations and what these people are doing. Are they glorifying Jesus or bringing attention to themselves? Who's being glorified? And see, a thing that always astounded me about Jesus' ministry was the fact that Jesus would do miracles and all these things, and it would say constantly, it says many times in the Gospels, and they glorified the God of Israel. I thought, isn't that phenomenal? You know, he was so much able to manifest God's glory without it looking like he was the big deal. It kept pointing to God. He was pointing to the Father. Well, it's the same way with us. And there's one thing, the Holy Spirit, he glorifies Jesus. So if the Holy Spirit manifests through us, it's to make a big deal about Jesus. And it should always glorify Jesus. It's not to draw attention to man. And that's where you have people have to watch themselves, because if the Holy Spirit starts manifesting himself through an individual, people need to stay humble and keep themselves over in the area where you, because it can be, people will try to make you God. Just like they'll try to crown you King of Kings and Lord of Lords. That's how many people get over and get deceived, and so many things happen. That's why PTL happened. People began to follow PTL instead of following Jesus. And you know what? PTL kept being more glorified, 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 glorified. And the leaders were more glorified, glorified, glorified. And you know what? The devil had them all trapped. And people bought the glorification. So always keep yourself over in the area where you're humble. And so we need to know this. We need to find out when's the devil operating, leading people off. You need to know that for yourself. When is he? So you always be led by the Spirit. Listen on the inside. There's nothing wrong. You're not weird because you want to check something out. That would be a good thing to do, to check things out. You know, test the spirits, whether they're of God. See if what this thing is going on is the right spirit in operation. Is it the right thing? Two people could do the same thing and have two different ulterior, two motives about it. One could be completely right about what they're doing, and the other one seems to be doing the same thing, but their motive is different. What they're going to try to do is going to be different. You want to know that because for your own self-protection. God wants to protect you. He wants to protect you from error. He wants to protect you from things that allow the devil to get into your life. Many good Christians, by not paying attention to things, didn't protect themselves and ended up in huge trouble where the devil did things that are like devastating things into people's lives because they didn't protect themselves. And I learned as a young Christian that God was very interested in protecting me. I didn't always do such a good job of listening. It's just like a parent trying to protect a child. Don't play in the street. Especially a lot of traffic running out there. But why do they do that? The parents trying to protect the child. Sometimes they don't listen. You know, sometimes I didn't listen. I don't know about you. Sometimes I didn't. You know, I thought I was smarter. I could handle it. Don't worry about me. And you bypass things. And sometimes what seems innocent and it don't seem so bad turns out into really bad things. And it's just the same way it is with these. That's why we want to be warned. There's some people out here, they're not trying to mislead anybody. You know, they love Jesus and they might be off into some error and thing. You know, there's ministers out here, you know, and I realize they teach some dumb stuff, say crazy things about healing and say, you know, dumb stuff. They're not trying to do that. They're misguided, misled. But number one, you need to understand that even though they're not bad people and they're not trying to hurt anybody, people get hurt by it. Nonetheless, people get hurt because people get sick and sit in their churches and don't think God wants them well, and they die when they weren't supposed to. So the devil steals mommies and daddies from their kids and all kinds of stuff. Are they bad people? They're not trying to be bad, but they're listening to wrong things. And that's why you want to pay attention. But we need to know that there are people out here that are specifically trying to mislead. And you'll usually find that these people will not listen to what the Word says. You're going to find that's one thing they don't do. They won't listen to what the Word said. I've had people already on stuff teaching things where I've sat down and said, now look, and I've took them through the Bible. Here's what the Bible says about this, and this is what the Bible says about it. Scripture after scripture. They still didn't. Well, I believe it's this way. Well, I'm going to tell you what, that person's in rebellion. They're rebelling against the Scriptures. They want to head in their way. They're not just, you know, that isn't just, well, you know, I made a mistake. No, I ain't going to admit that I'm wrong. I'm going to keep doing what I'm doing. See, those people you have to watch about. So, we read in Matthew, I'm going to read down what we read through, but then we're going to start reading some of this in context and some of the things that Jesus said, and it'll give us a whole view about some things. Now, in the 15th verse of the 7th chapter, Jesus said this, "Beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravenous wolves." In other words, the outside. So here we are. We have people. They look good. They might be saying some good things. But he says inside. In other words, their motivations of why they're doing what they're doing. I've learned this a long time ago. Motive is everything. You may have a, sometimes I've seen people do this. They really did the wrong thing, but their motive was pure. They didn't intentionally do the wrong thing. They thought they were doing what was right. See, but their motive was good. They didn't sin from the standpoint their intent was to do evil. Their intent was to do good. Now, they may have been wrong about it, but they aren't trying to, they're just being bad. We've all done that. We've all done sometimes made decisions based on things that we thought. But we weren't, our motive wasn't to do evil. Our motive was to do what was right, and it ended up wrong. Here's people, we need to understand, they have an intent to do something that's not right. That's why they hide under sheep's clothing. Why would somebody hide under something if, you know, inside what they're ravenous wolves, inside they're not what they are appear to be on the outside. It's because they're putting on an act. This is what they're doing. So, but nevertheless, I've seen people can really put on a good act. And I'll tell you, if you don't watch yourself, they can look so good. He said, you will know them, this is by their fruit. Do men gather grapes from thorn bushes or figs from thistles? Even so, every good tree bears good fruit, but a bad tree bears bad fruit. A good tree cannot bear bad fruit, nor can a bad tree bear good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. Therefore, by their fruits you'll know them. We talked about the fact that what we're dealing with, sometimes it takes time to know what people are doing. And that's why is don't always accept. If you have any questions and somehow inside of you something don't seem right, give it time. Over time, prove things out. I've learned that over time of watching things, of doing stuff. I've seen numbers of things come and go in my Christian walk from different types of ministry. I see a number of things coming back today that were a mess back in the 1980s and into the 90s, and it's coming back again. And people are going after stuff and doing things. And ministers are involved in it. They are doing stuff. And I see this stuff coming back again. But you know, back then, it all seemed really good. And some of it seemed really nice. But over time, it didn't prove out. Kenneth Hagin used to tell us, is to give time with things to see. Does it produce long-lasting fruit in the kingdom? See, we have so much today in Christianity, ain't no more than fads. And people go from one new fad to the next new fad to the next new fad. You know, the next new book comes out that becomes a hot one, and everybody's wow, and we all go buy the book. Oh, get the book, and you know what? A year later, you had never known that book was ever written. No, the next new book. Oh, this is the thing. Oh, this is what we're doing now. And what happened to another great revelation that was just going to change everything? I know that most of the stuff that became big deal between the 1990s and into the 2000s was junk because none of it lasted and the church ended up worse off. It didn't produce anything. It produced nothing. It didn't produce anything. There was no long-lasting fruit out of it. It wasn't something that was worth eating. You don't make preserves out of it. It didn't preserve well. It's a lot of junk stuff because everybody's trying to come up with new ideas, new. I'm still trying to learn the old. I'm still trying to get this stuff down right. So, you know, there's things that I think that are new. They're new to me, but they ain't new because they were out before. These things were, Jesus said this stuff 2,000 years ago. There's nothing new about it. But I will guarantee you, if you taught this in most churches in America today, this would all be new doctrine because it ain't been taught in years in the church. It ain't been said. So people who are in the kingdom, loads of them know nothing about it. They haven't heard about it. Loads of the people. We're sitting in a generation, like when I look at 1980, the stuff that I was taught, I'll bet you 85% of Spirit-filled Christians haven't never heard loads of the stuff I was taught. They haven't even heard it. We only know it today. Because we're sitting in generations, they didn't come out, they weren't from that area. They came into the church in the 90s and they came in and all this thing. Those people hadn't been taught this stuff. They haven't been taught loads of things. They don't know the kingdom. And so, it's teaching. Now, what I want to do is back up because we want to put this in its context of Jesus talking about these things. The Bible's written. They wrote it in chapters, in verses, they numbered these things, and it was a good thing to do. It wasn't a bad thing, it was a good thing to do because it made it easy to study, because you could reference things and find stuff quickly. That was a good idea. Then they turn around and they also, the newer Bibles, when they started coming along and changing it, they started putting topical, like here, I have all these topical headings on here, on the different things. They're also good to give an idea about the scriptures you're going to read. But one thing, you can't just go by them. You need to understand some of these are whole conversations, and they break it up like Jesus was talking in segments. He wasn't. Sometimes he was. Sometimes he was changing what he was saying. It's the same way you go over the letters in the church are done the same way. We have very little contextual teaching today, things caught in context. Most of it is a scripture pulled out. Now, these scriptures I read here are pulled out, but according to my Bible, these 15 through 20, now listen, I'm just going to say verse 21, but then we're going to back up. Look what 21 says. It's talking about these false prophets. Well, they went here, it says, mine has another heading in it. It says, I never knew you. But he didn't change the subject. Verse 21, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven. See, that belongs right there with 21. Because it fits the context of what he's talking about these individuals. People calling themselves, say, yeah, oh, I believe Jesus, and I call him Lord. He says, not everybody says they're Lord, Lord. And we want to, we'll go on and look at that. But what I want us to do is back up in that chapter. And in that chapter, I'm not going to read down through verse 7, but verse 7 starts in as ask and you will receive, seek and you find, knock and it shall be opened unto you. It goes on and tells about, and it talks to the believer about those things. And so, and then he goes to this. Now he told about the believer, and really it tells with the believer how the Father, he says, verse 11, if you being being evil know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give good things to those who ask him? So, I mean, he's talking to ones who believe in Father. He's conveying something about the Father and about asking, about giving, telling how good Daddy is. But now listen to verse 13. Go to verse 13 and it says, enter by the narrow gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leads to destruction. And there are many who go in by it. So the path of destruction, now he just got telling us about how God wants to give you good gifts, but he's telling us most people are going on the path where they ain't going to get the good gifts, they're going to end up in destruction. Now Jesus said this. I know people don't like to read this, but you need to understand this because he says, what is this? But narrow is the gate, difficult is the way which leads to life, and there are few that find it. Now the New King James puts the word difficult there, and it really isn't. That's a really bad, they should have never put that. It doesn't, because the term is never translated difficult. It's never, they translated it here. I don't know why. It's not difficult. It feels confined. Again, you could use the term narrow again. You could have said narrow. Would have been okay to say it. In other words, this way is a confined way. It's like the gate. If the gate's narrow, then the way is narrow because the way can't be wider than the gate. Yeah. Now listen what he goes on and says, the way to find it, but listen what he says, and there are few who find it. So Jesus is talking about the way to life. This is the way to, well, what life is he talking about? Just physical life? He's talking here about spiritual life. But he's talking here about the way of life. Well now, what life is he talking about? He ain't talking about just being able to live or living. He's talking about the way to life. This is to the life of God. He told these people, he said, hey, you guys evil, you do what you can to give good gifts. God wants to give good gifts. But good gifts don't come on the way that's broad. That way leads to destruction. So in other words, it's not leading to something good, the way of life. And then that's when he went in. He said, there he told him. He said, because of this, what? Because of this narrow way. He said, beware of false prophets. There's people who are going to try to lead you in the wrong way. They're going to try to lead you into another path, into things that are wrong. He told us to beware of those. And so if you read in the context of what he's talking about, what are these people trying to do? They're trying to head you on the road to destruction. And see, there's one thing that I've always found out about false teaching. False teaching always tries to make the gate wider. Always. Oh, hold it. You don't have to, you know, you don't have to follow. Look, God's love. God, let's make this gate wider here. Come on, guys. No. You know, yes, Jesus, God sent Jesus, but it's like today, I mean, the surveys and that stuff that have been done with born-again people, when they start talking percentages of born-again people now who believe that there's other ways to get to heaven. Why? Now, see, these false teachers have gotten in. People buy this teaching. People have listened to this sloppy grace preached so much, they have tried to widen the gate. He said the wide gate leads to destruction. If you enter in through the gate that they make, you're going to end up in destruction. See, people don't like a narrow gate. We need to understand this. Our gate's not narrow. There's only one way to salvation, Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is the Word of God. What He said is it. That's it. If He said something's wrong and something's wrong, that's it. See, we don't like that. We like a... Today, give us all this wide gate stuff. This is Jesus' warning, because we're going to find out He's not talking about something to dealing with under the law. We're going to find out He's dealing, because He deals with a day where they're going to come to judgment, where He's going to judge people. What's going to happen? So we need to see this. We read His context. So He's talking about the false teachers. This is why He's telling. Check things out. Check out what they're preaching, because there are people out here that come in sheep's clothing. They come look like they're nice. Remember what Jesus talked about the gate? He said, I'm the gate. He said, I'm the good shepherd. He talked about Him being the gate. And what He said, these people that tried to come in, He said, the hired hand, he trying to crawl over the side and that stuff. But He said, they're not shepherds. They don't have the care of the sheep. There's loads of men out here and women that are teaching things today, and they have no care of the sheep at all. They're doing what they do for money and all kinds of stuff. They do it for their own fame and their own glory. And they're doing things for wrong motives. They're teaching stuff that makes the gate wide. It's not the way it is. There's one way to Christ, and that's it. There's only one way. That's all there is to it. And, so that's what He's talking about. So what does it say? People come along and teaching things. You know, take time. You're going to find out. You'll find out. If you think, you know, people are teaching things and you're not sure about it, set it back. You know, I've done things. I remember years ago, and Kenneth Hagin had taught some things. And they just, I don't know. They just didn't, I don't know if they were right or what. I didn't know. But I didn't throw them out. I figured, well, we'll find out over time. Well, what I found out is there's certain things that I needed to learn. And after I learned them, I found out, you know, he was right about that. He was correct. I did the opposite thing with people already. I put things back, things where people were teaching, later found out what they were teaching was wrong. Yeah, that's what, you know, I wasn't sure about it. Too many people swallow stuff. Just, well, their favorite preacher, they just, anything he says, they buy it. Over the years, I've had people come to me, and, you know, about different things, and I have individuals, I'll teach on things in the Bible, they'll come to me and say, well, so-and-so teaches this, and they'll tell me what, and I say, that's fine. What are the scriptures? I have never had anybody ever, one time, ever give me scriptures. Never. The person said it and teaches it, and they tell you, and they come, well, so-and-so said, well, he has a lot more people following you than him. Well, I'll tell you what, he has a lot more guys following him and followed Jesus. So what? Was Jesus right or is he right? And I ask him, what scriptures do they use? And this is honest truth. I have never had one of those people ever give me a scripture. If the guy told them a scripture, they never paid any attention to it. All they do is listen to what he says. That's all they do. But he said. I don't care what he said. That's why Brother Hagin used to say, always check out in the scriptures what I teach. Don't take it just because I say it. You look for yourself. And see, this is why. And you're not going to, people can come along and you might see them and think, my God, they're just as godly as a day is long. And there's people will come along and you know what? You might wonder about them, but find out after a while that they're really walking in what's right, doing what's right. But that's why, as you take time, you know, is to judge these things, is don't just swallow it. Check out what people teach. That's what we have to do. Jesus said so. Now we read that's context because Jesus went on then, and we read before here, verse 21. Look what Jesus says. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does what? The will of my Father in heaven. In other words, listen to what Jesus, now you need to get this, because Jesus said not everybody that says Lord, Lord, or not everybody who confesses him as Lord is going to enter the kingdom. Does that sound like, you know, just because somebody got saved or confesses Jesus as Lord, they're going to end up in heaven? Now listen to what he says. Many will say to me in that day, what day is he, that day. Now we're going to find out what day he's talking about. This isn't about him during this time period. He's speaking about time when he's going to be Lord, Lord. He's going to be the guy that's in charge. In other words, this has to do with people being born again. This is the new covenant. This is in the day when he's raised from the dead and he's Lord of all. He said, have we not prophesied in your name, cast out demons in your name, and done mighty wonders in your name? And then I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. We'll go over to about lawlessness and talk about that a little later. What does he say to them? I don't know you. See, they went and did things in his name. They did stuff. This is one thing is over the years I've had people come to me and ask me sometimes, I don't understand this minister over here, he don't do things that are right, and you know, this kind of thing, stuff going on, and they'll say, but yet he seems to be used. You know, healings and stuff take place in his services, and why? Why does that go? Why does that happen? They'll think it's really odd. You know, God does not use a minister because of the minister. I can't get that across to people. God does not use them. Do you know, Kenneth Hagin told a wonderful story back in, this happened up in Canada years ago. But anyhow, some guys went up into Canada, and I'm not sure what they were up there for, but anyhow, what happened, they ended up running out of money and stuff, and they were stuck up in Canada, and they needed money and things, and they were trying to figure out how to get some money. They couldn't get a job. They were having trouble. And the one guy said, you know, we could be, you know, go out here and act like we're preachers, and we could turn around and take offering, get money from people. And the guy said, you know, he was raised around church people. He said, oh, I could preach some of this stuff. I could do it. We could hold meetings. And they actually did it. They went into a town. They went to a small town in Canada. These guys went in there preaching. This guy preached the word of God, and a revival broke out in the town. And the town, most everybody got saved in the town. Those guys weren't saved. Why? Because it's the word that produces. It's not the person. You know, if a guy stands up and tells you what's true, what's true will produce for you whether he's messed up or not. If a guy stands up in front and preaches healing to people, and people believe it and respond to it, God will heal them because they responded to the word. The guy never could have healed them to begin with. Kenneth Hagin used to always tell us, I couldn't heal a gnat's eyeball. Why? They believe the word. God will move because of the word. God does not move because of the individual. You can't get saved by an individual. You know, if a sinner told you what to do to get saved and you responded it was true, you'd get saved, wouldn't you? See, people, I don't understand how Christians, and I guess that most Christians follow men. They follow people. They don't follow the word. And sad to say it, spirit-filled people don't. they follow people instead of the word. And they say to me, well, how can he have this done? It's because people go there believing the word of God, and the word of God's preached. And when it's preached, they respond to it. They believe the word, and God responds to them according to the word. I said, he ain't doing what he does for the guy. See, that's what people never understood about PTL, why so much happened. Those people were all messed up. But you know what? People believed the word, and they would respond to the word, and stuff, miracles would happen. And everybody thought the miracles were happening because of Jim and Tammy Baker. They thought it didn't happen. It was the word. The word produces. No matter who says it, does the word not produce? Well, the wrong guy said it. No, if it's the truth and somebody believes the truth, to know the truth will make you free. So if somebody preached salvation and they weren't saved, just like those guys, they preached salvation, them people up there, and they got saved. Yet they didn't get saved themselves. They didn't believe it, but the people believed it and got saved. It's amazing, isn't it? And you have to know that. It's the word. No matter what anybody else does, if I respond to the word works, no matter what anybody else is doing. So don't let people sway you. Oh, well, you know, I can't get nothing done here because there's so many people in unbelief. Don't worry, I believe the word. No matter what they say, it's going to work for me. Hallelujah. The word works. People who believe what the Word says and respond to it, it will work. What we're going to have is we're going to have people going along preaching the Word. They're going to be doing these kinds of things, and things that they're going to tell people are true. And they're going to, look what I did in your name. And he's going to say, go work. I don't know about you. I may use Jesus' name, but I can't make the work happen. He's going to have to do that. This guy, you know what they said? Look what we did, all these things in your name. Look what all I did. Man, we got him today. Look all I do. Whoa! Yeah, that's what you're doing. No, I'm going to tell you what. You can't do God's work without God. I'm just telling you, you can't do God's work without God. And, you know, people may believe because they spoke the truth. That doesn't mean that they made anything happen. They may not be believing. They may have all kind of wrong motives. This individual, look what all I did. Miracles happen. Why? People believe what the Word said. Miracles happen. They didn't happen because of them. And so, he told him, he's going to tell these people, go away. I never knew you. I never knew you. Now, here's another area that's pulled out of context. Because if you read it in what Jesus is talking about, Jesus hasn't changed the subject. He's talking about people preaching wrong things. He's talking about these ones who are doing things in their name. Listen what he says, and this is for us as individuals, all of us it works for. Because of this thing, it says, therefore. Now the word therefore, if this is not tied to the previous scriptures, then the word therefore should not be there. The word therefore means because of what was just said. It's there. Because of what I just said, whoever hears these sayings of mine and does them, I will liken him to a wise man who builds his house on a rock. And the rain descended, the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house, and it did not fall, for it was founded on a rock. But everyone who hears these sayings of mine and does not do them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. And the rains descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house, and it fell, and great was the fall, great was its fall. What happened? This individuals, he's talking about these false teachers, are going to come, look what all we did. But they didn't do the word. They weren't doers of the word. He said, the guy who hears what I say and doesn't. You see, they were the wolves in sheep's clothing. They didn't do the word. He said, look at their fruit. Why? Their fruit don't match up to what they preach. They'll come and tell you the right thing. Jesus told the people about the Pharisees. Jesus said this. Oh, do what they tell you, but don't do what they do. Oh, what they read the law to you, that's right. Don't do what they do. Why? Those are the guys that are like this. You know what? The end ain't going to be good. The end ain't going to be right. The guy who does what the Word says is where you get blessed. This is why many people even get born again, but their lives turn out a mess because they don't ever live what the Word says. They don't live it. You got to live what it says. You got to live what it says. Because everybody's going to face storms. Storms are going to come. Storms, stuff's going to happen. Things happen. But the guy who stands on the Word of God, who does what the Word says, it's not enough to say, Lord, Lord. It ain't enough. That will not get the job done. We make it through life, or we succeed in life, based upon walking in line with the Word. And see, I often use the thing because, you know, we had the kids in church, they used to sing the song, wise man built his house upon a rock, the wise man, and they'd sing a whole song, the rains came down and the floods came up, and they used to sing those songs for us as kids. And they'd say, the foolish man built his house, but they go to this, and they said, so build your house on the Lord Jesus Christ. That is not what he was talking about here. See, and Christians thought, I get saved. And our Christians come and say, I don't understand, I'm born again, filled with Spirit. Things don't work out for me. That ain't hard to figure. Why? You got to do the Word. Now, they may not be because they're bad. They may not know what the Word says. They might not know. Haven't been taught the Word. They need to know what the Word says. But if you know what the Word says and you don't do it, the result's the same. It doesn't matter. And see, you know, people talk ignorance is bliss. Well, some sense, it might be good to not know some things because it's better off not knowing some gossip. But when it comes down to living life, there's things, man, you downright need to know, and ignorance will never be bliss. Yeah, you hear the devil's going to eat your lunch. That's what's going to happen. So you see, when we read this in its context, doesn't it change what's being said? That's why it's good to read. Now, that doesn't mean everything that Jesus taught was actually all contextual. There's some things that he spoke certain things that dealt with different things. And he said some stuff, the next thing he talked about dealt with something else. But these here, it's like you go down here, you get to the therefore. Therefore means the things that he's talking about before comes down to this thing right here. And this is why you can't find out what people have or what's going on. This is one thing about everybody's going to face in life. Everybody's going to face trials, temptations. We're going to face storms. Things come to us. I'm not talking about physical storms. Yet, a physical storm could come. It would sure be good to know the Word of God and how to stand so you know you don't get blown away with the storm. But we understand what he's talking about here is everybody's going to face this thing. And I will guarantee you this. Surely, when the tests and trials of life come along, you're going to find out who follows the Word and who don't. It always is. Hey, like they used to say of a tube of toothpaste, when you squeeze the tube, you find out what's really inside. Somebody can tell you there's toothpaste in that tube, but you squeeze it. You know, you could take a toothpaste tube and it can be empty and you can blow it up and there's nothing in it and it looks like it's full, but when you squeeze it, nothing comes out. There's a lot of Christians in that category. There's nothing on the inside. See, the guy that stands, and this is what you're going to find out about these one preaching one thing but living another life. When pressures come, you're going to find out. Because when the squeeze comes, you're going to find out what they're really, really like. What is really going on. What's really happening. And so that's why, take your time. If you have a question about something, take your time. See what fruit is produced. See what fruit's produced concerning individuals, and you'll find out, and it's good concerning yourself. You find out what's in you. See, lots of people don't like to ever face anything in life, but there's one thing about it: when we face stuff, we find out really what's in us. We found out you find out whether you're really growing or not. You find out when pressure comes whether or not you're into this or not. Finds out, I need to get over here and maybe do a little bit more study on this stuff. There's a few more things I need to learn. There's stuff that I don't know. And developing in those things. So you want to do that. There's one thing, and there's some things that we can do. These are things that Cooper Beatty, who he just passed on, went home to be with the Lord. He was, Cooper was... He was up in his upper 90s. He just died. He was like 97 or something like that. He was an instructor at Rhema. Guy was he was a real great contextual teacher. One of the best I've ever sat under. A lot of people didn't like him. He wasn't flashy. He wasn't like a real flamboyant guy teaching. But Cooper knew the Bible. And he was great. I mean, to me, I really liked him as a teacher. I thought he was excellent. He was a very detailed teacher. He was very line upon line, you know, and he would explain everything out. He would, scripture upon scripture, he would put with things. And it would, to me, always made things really clear. You know, maybe some people like guys that dance around. Like, I like to, you know, have a good time and do that. But when it comes down to teaching, you know, I want some good teaching. And he was just really good at it. There's some things he talked about in his one class about dealing with people in these areas, and he had enough experience as a minister. I mean, he had he must have had 70, 75 years in the ministry or something. I mean, he'd been around for, he saw a few things, a few things more than I did. Anyhow, but one of the things that he talked about, which he saw over the years, and I took from him and started to see this, is found out it was true. He said, false religions, these false teachers, they capitalize on Christian terminology. They use our words. They use our words. See, I found that out is to be true. I found out one of my first encounter I ever had with a Jehovah's Witness. Jehovah's Witness talked a lot of things that we use in Christianity, we talk about. But when I found out about it, because they use our terminology, they use our words. but they don't believe that they don't believe the same, and their words don't mean the same. They use our words, but they're talking about something different when they use it, and they know it when they're talking to you. That's how they suck you in. They say our words. Cooper Beatty used to teach at Rhema, and he taught this subject of teaching, how to teach. And he used to say this all the time, and you'll see that I'll do that when I teach, and I learn it from him. He said, define your words when you go to teach. Because he said, many times you'll stand up to teach people, and I find that this is one of the problems with sometimes I see on TV ministers, because that with all their time restraints and everything out, sometimes they don't really explain some things. And when words are used, you know, all kind of words are used in the Bible, and you see them used today that are taught, and even among people that don't even follow God, when they talk about religious things, they use terminologies, but they don't even know what the words mean. If you don't tell a person if you're teaching on a subject and the terminology, it's like with righteousness, we went through the things of teaching, and I used definitions of righteousness. The reason you do that, because a lot of people, they hear that term, they think a lot of different things. All kinds of things. Do you know when the Bible talks about, the New Testament talks about the word life is almost never talking about human physical life? It's talking about the life of God. Yet when most teachers teach it, you'd think that they're talking about this life, about the things of this life, and it's talking about everlasting life. It's talking about the God kind of life in you. But if people don't explain those things, people sit down and read the Bible and think about it's talking about this physical life stuff when it's not. They read scriptures and think they don't know what he's talking about. So it's important. He said about defining your terms. It's one of the things is asking sometimes these people, what do they mean? You say, well, you know, they'll use a term to you. They'll use the term salvation. What are you talking about salvation? What do you mean when you say salvation? See, it's even today, you know, I said to Wanda, because, you know, if you ever drive through Mennonite country, Mennonites always have these signs out, you know, about, you know, they'll say, you know, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and be saved. And the wages of sin is death. Well, you know, and I said to my wife, I said, hon, I said, do you ever think about this? I said, most Christians don't even know what the word sin means. They don't even believe in sin anymore. I said, never talk about it. Nobody's ever sinning anymore. You always got problems. I said, they put those words out there. And I said, you know, they're right from scriptures. But I said, people read those signs. It means nothing to them. I said, you know, call the name of the Lord. You'll be saved. Most people don't even know they need saved for anything. Most Christians don't even know they need saved for anything. They don't even know. And I said, the terminologies are put out there. But I said, today we don't even know what they mean, because most of the time it's not used in context. And most of the time people don't even know what the words mean. They become archaic in their use, and we say all kinds of other things. So they go read the Bible. People don't even know what it's saying. They think they do, but they have no clue what it's talking about. They don't have a clue. And that's why it's with these. When people may be using the same terms as we use, but that don't mean that they're talking about the same thing. And this is one thing is you want to find out, what do people mean by what they say? Because they're deceptive. Like I said, the first encounter I had with a Jehovah Witness, he used a scripture in scripture, but he used it out of context, and he didn't use it in the context. And what he was telling me wasn't meaning what the Bible said. And when I took him the scripture and showed him what the scripture said about it, he got mad at me. Well, you won't listen. Well, I said, I have the choice. Listen to what the Bible says or you. Boy, this is going to be a difficult one. This is going to be hard to figure out. He told me, the problem is you won't listen. Well, what's the point? I said, and I told him, I said, you know, he said, I wouldn't listen. I said, look, I said, you came to my door and knocked on my door. I didn't go to your door and knock on your door. I said, you came here, and I said, I found out you lied to me about what a scripture said. And I said, you're mad at me. I said, if anybody ought to be mad, it ought to be me. I said, I'll take you out and lick you. I said, if I'd be, you know, like you are. I said, you're here talking bad about me, and you're the guy that pulled the junk. And you came to my house. Well, he, out the door, you know, that guy ain't listening. He got mad at me because I proved him wrong. And I just said, hey, no, the Bible says, and I didn't do it to him to be mean to him. I said, hey, hold it, that isn't what the Bible says. And I went and took him, showed him scripture, and he, well, that's, hold it, don't fit my doctrine. And but he came along with the idea, and he's a Christian. He told me he believed the Bible. That's one of the first things he talked about. He had a Bible with him. Yeah, he believed the Word of God. Yeah, and he said, the Bible says this, and he made his statement. He made a statement out of context. And when he was proved wrong about it, that isn't what he wanted to hear. So he carried a Bible, yet he didn't believe what the Bible said. And you're going to find out, they don't believe what the Bible says. The Bible said they changed their Bible. Jesus Christ isn't the Son of God. He's a Son of God. See, they don't believe who Jesus said he is. And that's one thing you'll find out about. When you get into other religions and sects, what happens? The big thing that the devil wants to change is the idea of who Jesus is. And you'll always find out they're wrong about who Jesus is. They're wrong about who Jesus is. See, that's one of the things that John wrote about. John wrote about the fact, Jesus didn't really come in the flesh. Jesus didn't really... See, you'll start things, and this is what other religious things try to bring in, and this is where false doctrine will always come in and try to change those things. They'll try to change who Jesus... So they have a wrong... They'll always this, you'll find out, they have wrong definitions about what sin is. What is sin? They'll have wrong definitions about those kinds of things. They'll have wrong ideas about how sin is absolved. They'll have their beliefs about it. Their beliefs are based on usually other revelations. You got to watch, because people will come along and they'll have other revelations besides Scripture. That's where the Jehovah Witnesses do. Mormons have that. They have other scriptures that they have. Angels told somebody this, or prophet so and so. Like Brother Hagin said, he said a guy told him one time it. He has a revelation out beyond the Bible. And Brother Hagin said, he said, you're going where I'm not going. He said, I ain't going beyond the Bible. Well, and you'll always have this. These groups, they do this. They'll have revelations. And they're outside. Any revelation I've ever gotten from God, I always do what Brother Hagin says. I want to find out if that revelation is in Scripture. I have never had the Lord reveal something to me that He has not given me numbers of Scriptures dealing with that subject. Where He would say to me, such and such says this, and I'd go over there and read it. Well, He's right. And He would show me. And that's why you want to be led by the Spirit. The Holy Ghost teaches you. He's always going to take you in line with the Word. That's what He's going to do. Jesus is the Word. So He's going to move you in line with Jesus. And what we know and we can confirm about Jesus. So any subject that's taught should be in line with the word of God. So how do we deal with the sin thing? Well, there'll always have ways you can deal with sin other than with Jesus. There's other things. They have revelation outside the Christian. Most cults claim that they're the only way, but without Jesus. Now, it's most. Some of them know. Some of them have the idea there's many ways that you can get to God. So they have Jesus in their belief, but you'll find this Jesus. If you go over in the Muslim religion, the Muslim religion believes Jesus is a prophet, and they believe that there should be a respect concerning Jesus being a prophet, but they sure don't believe in who Jesus is. See, they'll put it in there, and people get sucked into this stuff. They believe in Jesus too, and. They get sucked in. Salvation is usually dealing with the areas is based on works or performance. In other words, to be saved. They usually have somebody who's a gifted leader, somebody who came along who turned around and becomes somebody who... And this is where the one thing you have to watch is people following people. You got to follow the Word. Because I tell you, it's easy to get misled. Somebody can really look good. I want to tell you what. I would just tell you this. We look in our nation, the spirit of Antichrist has operated in this nation through people, and loads of Christians have followed off the men and women who follow that spirit. Loads of born-again Christians have followed off after the people that are under this spirit. And I'm not talking just about preachers. They follow government leaders. They follow all kinds of people because they're hooked to the wrong spirit. And so we need to be careful in these things. Most religions are all bloodless religions. They don't have, you don't have to, and even Christianity, most Christians don't even know why Jesus had to be a man. They don't have a clue why. But they have gifted leaders. One of the things that you need to know yourself, if you're going to really understand things, there's one thing. You need to be born again. You need to be filled with the Holy Ghost. And not filled with the Holy Ghost one time and just then. You got to stay full of the Holy Ghost. Because I'll tell you what, things out here can look good. You got to make sure that you were hooked up the right spirit, because the one thing you need to be able to do is refute people through the Bible. That's one thing is why I've always studied the Bible. I have never had problems dealing with somebody of another religion, and I have never studied their religions. I know the Bible. I can take people to the Bible. It's one of the things I always find this out about people. And over the years, I've had people come to me, and even sometimes people in our church. We met so-and-so, and they say and they're believing this, and blah, 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 and that, and other things. And they say, well, they're all messed up. And I say, well, why are they all messed up? Well, you know, they're saying, I don't believe that. Why don't you believe that? Well, the scripture. I said, did you give them scriptures? Or what? Well, no, I couldn't think anything. I just, you know, and then I said, you know one thing about them? They know their stuff. You better know yours, or don't even bother arguing with them, because you're going to look like a fool. And they're coming to ask me to give them scriptures. I said, look, you need to go study the Bible yourself. I ain't giving you no scriptures. Don't mean enough for you to study the word yourself. You say they're wrong and you don't even know if they're... How could you know they're wrong? You don't even know what scriptures are. And number one, lazy today, if you can't... You know, there's so much stuff out here that you can go find, look up scriptures. Dear God, you're that lazy. I ain't doing it for you. Is go look it up, because they're going to come along and pull things. Is you go to the scriptures and... And I tell people what scriptures say. If they don't believe what the scriptures say, there's no most point going on talking about it. What's the point? I ain't going to stand there and argue with some guy over some stuff. Say, here's what the Bible says. I'm a believer in the Bible. That settles it for me. If it don't settle for you, that's up to you. It don't matter. We ain't going to talk about it no more. It's over. What's the point? Because they ain't going to sway me. Because if you know what the Word says. Now, you'll find that most of these people, they are really offering an uncertain hope. Usually, you'll find these religions deal with a select few, you know. It's like when the Jehovah Witness leaders back in the early 1900s missed the thing of predicting Jesus Christ coming. When they predicted that, and it didn't work out, then they predicted it the second time, and I think a third time. They did three times in a row. It's these three times his charm, I guess. Because the people keep doing that. You notice you know that there guy here not long ago, he did a third time. I got to give it to him. He finally admitted. He said, you know, I must not know at all about that. He finally, you know what? He's the first person I've ever seen do that. I have seen others in my time. When I lived in Oklahoma, we had a group who was out of, I think, Arkansas or Missouri, one of those two places. They arrived as a group, and they predicted Jesus Christ's return on a certain date. And these folks went out there. Oh, they did all, they run up credit cards, all kind of did all, Jesus is coming, we ain't going to have to pay this stuff off. Well, I knew people doing stuff like that. This is ungodly. This ain't right. Most people, I had people come and ask me, do you think Jesus is coming back on that date? Now, these are born again, spirit filled. And you lay hands of God, put something between that ears besides that BB that's rolling around up there. Like, give me a break. They're out here doing all this carnal stuff. You think we're going to get more carnal as if we're believing right about Jesus? It's like, come on. Well, it didn't happen. So what'd they do? All the guys said, oh, I got one of my calculations wrong. Those poor people were having to make payments on them cards. Well, they did it the second time, and it didn't work. But from what I know, they never repented. They went on to their own religion and other junk, you know. But you got to find that people do that kind of stuff. They usually don't admit, you know. But they'll usually have, you know, somebody and some leader. They got a revelation, and somebody, you know, comes along, and they got this special revelation, but it's for a special group of people. You know, there's always been a remnant with God. It isn't because God chose us just a certain small group of people. God preached us to everybody. Just seems that when it comes to narrow way, most people don't want it. It's too narrow. I like a broader way. That's because it's not because we have a special revelation. We don't have a special revelation. Any man can have it. We don't have a special revelation. If a guy's got a special revelation, I'm right away, my good sense is going to rise up and say, now hold it. Because, you know, you always have these guys, how over the years you've seen these ministers will get on tea and God gave me this special revelation and I wrote this book and this is going to really revolutionize your life. It's a good bookseller. But you know, you find out, you read the book, they ain't got no special revelation. There's nothing special. They don't get something special. Guys got Leo Kenneth Hagin. God gave him a revelation on things of faith, but it wasn't because it was a special revelation. He found out later on that there was people who knew this revelation, but you know, basically, it wasn't. Most people didn't know it because it really, people didn't believe it, so they didn't pay attention to what people said. But other people had him. It's like he said, you know, God started dealing with him on the book, name of Jesus. He said, it's amazing. He said, I only found one other book. And he said, I found the book E.W. Kenyon wrote on the wonderful name of Jesus. He said, now, Kenyon had that book out there, but loads of people wouldn't believe what Kenyon said. So it wasn't a special revelation. It came from the Bible. It wasn't special. People have had it. I mean, there's people years ago understood and knew this thing. Where did they get the revelation from? They got it out of the Bible, so the apostles knew it because they wrote it. So it wasn't special from that standpoint. And when people start their special revelations, you know, I pretty well don't listen much to ministers who always use those kind of, well, we got this special revelation. I don't like to listen to them because, number one, they're ego talking that stuff. They make themselves into something they're not. It's one thing I always like to Brother Hagin. He never made himself into a big deal. But the man was a big deal because he knew more about God than loads of the people who sat around talking about they knew something about God. And so you need to watch in following these people. The important thing that you and I need to understand as believers is this, is know what you believe and why you believe it. That's when the Lord asked me, and I've said this before many times, the Lord asked me some years back, good number of years back, he said to me, why do you believe what you believe? I knew what he wanted me to do. He wanted me to go back to Scriptures and start studying the Scriptures again on the things that I believe, the things that I preach, and the things that I say. Go back. And I found out. I went back and I found out. I was off on things. I found out I had things that people taught and preached, and I just accepted what they taught and said it was. And when I got back studying, I found out, you know, it wasn't like that. It wasn't that they were trying to deceive me or anything. They did what I did. They took it and preached what somebody else told them. And I went back and thought, you know, it's not like they said. And I found out, you know, there's things I had to change how I preached it or changed how I was looking at it to be in line with the Scriptures. But I went back and began to examine the Scriptures. So know what you believe. Know why you believe what you do. Because if you're not sound on it, on what you believe, you're susceptible to error. You're susceptible to it to get off into something. So always keep yourself over on why you believe what you believe. Let's see. Yeah, we'll end there because I won't go on. Next week, we're going to talk about the things in dealing with the areas of sin because guarding from sin is one thing that John talked about and talking about what sin is. We have to know how can we guard from something we don't really know what it is. And there's one thing about it, I'll guarantee you, you don't hear a lot of preaching on that anymore. And if you mention things today about what sin is, they'll run you down. I mean, my God, and I'm talking about major ministers. I mean, how many times have you heard somebody, it's just like Jack Van Impe, made some statements about our government, made mentions about sin, about homosexuality and stuff. Man, major ministers on TV run the man down. I mean, we got one major ministry. He was on their network as a teacher, and they wanted to put him off, He turned around and left and said he wouldn't stay on them anyhow because of what they believe. He says, if I can't preach and tell the truth, I don't want to be on your stations. It's one of the biggest names on TV. They're you know. And he got off of them. Why? Because he's kissing up to people all the time. We don't want to get into this stuff. Why? Because the government will take our tax-exempt status, and we love the money. Oh, money's bigger than God. Hey, I believe you need money to carry the gospel. I believe you need a lot of it. Because I don't know about you, stuff costs a lot. You know? You go out here and you go to take gospel. I mean, you don't get on these planes free. You don't fly halfway around the world. Man, I've had to fly. I've flown back and forth from Fiji, you know, about 6 times. And I'm going to tell you what, it ain't cheap. You don't go do this stuff for nothing. It costs money. It costs money to stay in hotels. It costs money to eat food. It costs money. Stuff costs money. You know, it just that's the way it is. And you travel. And I've spent a lot of money out doing things. You need money to do them. And I believe in it. But I don't believe in this fear of things and worrying about what the government's going to say. The government's not going to limit me to what I preach. You know, they're going to have to shoot me to get me off the earth because other than that, I'm just going to keep saying what's true. I don't care what they do. Say what they say about it. I'm going to keep saying what's true, saying what's right. And we have a lot of them today. They're afraid. They ain't going to say what's right. It's the last thing they're going to say. They ain't going to speak on this stuff. They're going to say about it. We want to preach about sin because then we'd have to mention what things might are. You know, oh no, we don't want to do that. Oh no, man, our churches will clear out because man, loads of our people in our mega church, they're doing it. We open our mouth, we don't have mega church no more. Well, we like mega church. Oh, praise God. So we'll be good looking into those areas and looking into things about concerning those areas, because the Word of God teaches us these things, why, to guard us from these things, so we don't get involved in the things, so we can live above things instead of under them. And that's what it's about. The Word of God, anybody who knows anything about the Word of God is not going to be involved in more sin. It never leads to more sin. Anybody who's a Christian and ends up getting involved out into sin is because they've gotten away from the Word of God. The Word of God will keep you from sin. It'll keep you from it. Is it as powerful as it says? Is it the incorruptible seed? It'll keep you from it. And I don't know about you, I need help in that area to be kept from it. So I'm going to stay with what the Word says, because I want to be helped to be kept from sin. I don't believe in a gospel that teaches us we're just going to sin. I believe that is the most stupid thing in the world. Doesn't make any sense. That our salvation is so weak, it don't really help you much. I don't believe in that. Praise God. God's better than that. Hallelujah. Father, we just want to say thank you today. Lord God, as we looked in these things, thank you for instructing us and teaching us in these things. Father God, to help guard us, because Lord, our true intent, you know we do want to walk with you, we want to follow you, and I want to thank you for through the scriptures and the writings that Jesus, and for what John wrote and Peter wrote, James wrote, and Paul wrote, to help us, Lord God, so we're guarded against ones out here that are trying to deceive us. Lord God, that we're not going to get caught in those things. Hallelujah. Lord God, we're going to walk above those things. Lord God, because your word is going to protect us. Hallelujah. The wisdom and understanding for your word is going to guard our lives. And we thank you that all that you're going to accomplish and do in us and through us, in Jesus' mighty name, amen.